as he brings the word of God. Thank you for this man. I thank you for the father that he is to his two sons and to his daughter, Ina. And he's a father to, I think, many people here today as well who look to him and seek his advice and seek counsel sometimes. And he speaks as a father when he brings your word too. Thank you for that. We pray that we will listen well and that it'll be clear what you would say to us today. We love your word. We know that your word is being challenged today throughout this country. We also know that it may not be very long when we don't have the freedom to speak your word, because there's such an attack against the truth of your word. So, Lord, while we have the freedom to worship without opposition or persecution, we're going to take advantage of it. And we pray today that your word will be brought clearly, that we will hear you, and that we'll respond properly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Morning, church. I love you in the Lord. Today, yes, it is a Father's Day celebration. But for you fathers, including me, do not expect that you will have cake anymore, because all budget has been spent during Mother's Day. Actually, this is not true. I'm not going to preach about Father's image today, but I have felt led to talk today about a topic which is very important for us to grow into maturity as a church, as a Christian. That is the topic which is less spoken about because it deals with sanctification. Sanctification, if you want to make it simple, that's a process that God shapes you day by day through your thinking, through your mind, to be more and more like him, so that you can be holy as God is holy. I'm not going to talk from the side of psychology, but I'm going to talk from the Bible that explained to us about the importance of mind, of thoughts, as we grow in our Christian walk. Talking briefly about mind, which is created by God and put in us, actually, it is like in between. You have your spirit, which is the kernel, the core of you, and then you have your soul, and part of this soul is your mind. Feeling, emotion, will, your mind comes under your soul. And then we have the outer shell, which is our physical body. Mind is a set of cognitive faculties. I said it's a set of, because it includes like consciousness, it contains your perception, your thinking, your judgment, your memory, and even your capacity to talk, which is language. So thank God for all of those faculties. I'm not going to be here today. I won't be here today to talk about the Word of God if I don't have the capacity through language to convey the Word of God to you. So talking about mine, again, I'm not going to show to you like what the science, which is psycho-cybernetics. I don't know, some of you learn or heard about the psycho-cybernetics. It is a part of psychology, which is, they say, if you visualize something in your mind, if it is a positive one, and then you will attain that positive thing by the power of your mind per se. I don't buy that personally. No. Because along that line, there's another teaching also. I don't know if you've ever heard of the teaching of the New Ager or New Age movement. They say through the power of your mind or your thinking, you can create something. Again, personally, I don't buy that, because what I believe through the Bible is it is by the power of the Word of God that we believe. If we hear the Word of God preached to us, and then faith comes, and then through this faith as a gift that we receive from God, something can materialize. Something out of nothing can materialize, but the essence is the Word of God, right? That's the difference. The New Age says just the power of thinking, the power of mind. But we believers believe that everything is through the Word of God. Yes. Now, talking about mind, man is mind, actually, to some extent. Mind is the master that molds and makes. Man's thought is a tool by which he shapes his will. By his mind, he brings 1,000 joys. And by his mind, he brings forth 1,000 ills. Just remember that. If we don't use our mind properly according to the Word of God, it can bring a lot of problems in your life. You think in secret, and then over time, it comes to pass. The materialization of that thinking is your environment that acts as a looking glass. So, brothers and sisters, we have to appreciate the fact that our mind, as created by God, is also redeemed. I do not want just my spirit being redeemed. We receive a full package from God when we accepted that redemption. Every facet of our life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, is being redeemed by the power of God. Do you believe or do you agree that action and feeling is preceded by a thought? Yeah, you agree. Then I can say that a man, you who are sitting there, is literally what he thinks, his character being the complete sum or complete composition of all of his thoughts. And remember, this emotion, this thought is in the middle. Sometimes he acts unruly. He can say to the spirit, oh, you don't have to do that. You don't have to obey the word of God. He rationalizes this carnal thinking I'm talking about. And then, because he's in the middle, like in between as an agent, before your spirit can do something, this guy in between, your mind, your thinking, your thoughts are on the way, in the way, before a certain action is performed by your physical body. I think it is clear now. This guy is in the middle. So it is very important that our mind should be brought under the power of the truth, the power of God. Men are very anxious to improve everything in this world, in this life, which is good. But sometimes they escape the fact that they don't want to improve how they think, how they use their mind. That's the reason so many people still remain bound. Our mind can be likened to seeds. If you see plants grow, they grow out of something, from the seeds. Same thing in this life. Our actions, our deeds are the offspring or coming through the seeds of our thought. Now I'd like to quote a scripture for you and this talk about mind or thought. It's taken from the book of Proverbs. The wisest man who ever lived in the service of this earth, Solomon, wrote this. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Heart here does not mean just here, but the combination, the interworking of our mind and our spirit. And along the same line, Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in Rome, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. It reads, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transform. How? By the renewing of your mind. So this is the message that we are hearing today that deals with sanctification. I hope you understand already that salvation has three facets to it. The first one is justification. When you hear the word of God, faith comes to you. And according to Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, you are saved by grace through faith. That is justification. Not because of our own merit or our own deeds or good deeds. And then comes the second one, sanctification. This is the process that takes place during our lifetime. Some people are done faster than the others. Depending on our submissiveness to the hands of the potter. And then the third one, the third facet is glorification. We are waiting for that day when we behold the face of God. That is the time for glorification. So this is like a continuum, starting from the moment you say, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus," until you behold the Lamb who has died for you. Sanctification will involve the renewal or the renewing of our mind or our mindset. There has got to be a paradigm shift. You used to think this way according to the lust and desires of the world, but now there is a shift, a total turnaround. The way how we think is as directed by the truth, by the Spirit of God. This is a paradigm shift that I'm talking about. And if you really want the Lord to work this sanctification process in your life, you need to decide that you really want it. You need to ask God the Father to begin the sanctification process in your life. And you need to study the Word for the knowledge that you will need. You have to do your part. Because this sanctification is a combination of the Word of God you receive, you put into your mind, and the Holy Spirit, which is also in the Word. This is what I mean by the combination of the Word and the Holy Spirit. You need also to cooperate with the Holy Spirit during the process. Cooperation is always good with God, yes. Yes. You do your part, and God will do His part. One of God's highest goals in store for each and every one of His children is transformation. And this transformation, remember, someday will be transformed into the image, fully into the image of Christ. That's what the Bible says according to Paul. And this transformation is accomplished by the renewing of our mind. I know sanctification, the moment you receive Christ to be your Lord and Savior, it is instantaneous before God. But remember, Before God, it is done. The holiness of God is imputed to you. A sanctification is done in front of God, before God, through Christ, but this is where your part is very important, but progressive before men. Through the obedience to Holy Spirit and through the obedience to the Word of God. So remember the key words here are, it is progressive and it is ongoing. It is a process. It is not done overnight. Though we have already received this sanctification, like we have already received redemption from God and righteousness, yet on an individual, practical basis or level, it is progressive. Let me read to you a scripture from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. In front of God, you have been sanctified. Called to be saints. That should be enough to knock you down from your seats, that you are being called by God saints. And God knows and you know what you are doing in your daily life. But in front of God, through Jesus Christ, He sees you as a saint. Isn't that wonderful? You are called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And verse 30 in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. These three come in a package. You should be thankful to God for that. Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And Hebrews 10, verse 14 says, for by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Wait a minute. If He has perfected forever you and I, but why the latter part of this verse says, you are being sanctified. That's the reason I said earlier that this sanctification is a process which is ongoing until the final touch from Jesus is done on your life. You are being sanctified from day to day. It is a progressive, continuous present tense. We have to set our mind on putting the positive qualities. This message is not about positive thinking, but what the Word of God says, that is the positive one that can eradicate the negative element in our life, in our mind. Now back to Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So here, God is targeting my mind. God is targeting your thought. The process of our mind, of our thought, of our thinking. Meaning to say, He is targeting what we think about on a daily basis. If you are what you think, you can become what you think. You can. Good or bad. If you are the one who is always thinking about or always dwelling on the more positive things in this life, you will have a good, sound mind. You will be happy. You will be upbeat. You will have the sense of fulfillment in your life. And I don't know any other book that tells us about the positive life, positive things, except the Word of God, this Bible. But some people see the negative things in this life. If you give him some water in a glass, he or she will say, "Oh, why do you offer me a glass of water which is half empty?" He sees the emptiness, not the water in the glass. He sees the negative side of it. If you give him a donut, what he will see is not the donut, but the hole. Yes, some people always dwell on the negative side. They stay thinking and dwelling on the darker, morbid, negative side of this life. So sad. Let me tell you, this fallen world in which we live has a combination, has a mixture of both life and death in it. And Jesus said, from time to time, we believers will have to go through various types of trials and tribulations. But he doesn't stop there. He says, but be of a good cheer, I have overcome the world. And if you combine that with Romans 8:28, if you remember that verse, let me paraphrase it for you. God is always at work for you. As long as you love God. Even in everything, even according to the word, it is bad. It is a calamity. It is suffering and trial. God is at work for the good of everyone. I love that word, good, for the good of me, for the good of his church, for the good of everyone here in this building today. God is always at work. That should be enough to give me a positive thinking. He's at work for the good of everyone who loves him and who has been chosen for his purpose. How many here today believe that you have been chosen for God's purpose? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Life is like a coin that has two sides. This is only a simple analogy. It has two sides. On one side is the darker side of life. But the other side of life is good. It is positive. It is bright. It is wonderful. Remember, life is not all death. Life is not all gloom. It's not all doom. It's not all destruction. Even in the worst case scenarios, even in the very worst situation, there is always a hope. There is always a hope. There is always a light at the end of the tunnel. Some of you sitting here in this service today might be going through a storm today. But let me say this out of love. God is with you in the middle of the storm. As Christians, we have God Almighty on our side to help us go through a storm. Because a storm may come your way in this life someday. So remember, brothers and sisters, we can all choose what to think about and dwell on. The choice is in your hand. And it is part of the free will that God has given to everybody. We do not have to become slaves to the negative and pessimistic type of thinking. You don't have to. You don't have to have a stinking thinking, so to speak. Our thinking and our thought process do not have to control us. This is very important. We control them. We control them. Negative type of thinking or negative mental stronghold, I would say, can be broken. Remember this. And if you have been dwelling for a period of time on this mental negative stronghold, come, get prayed for at the end of the message today. Get deliverance. The Bible tells us that we can actually take captive. I love this word. Written by the apostle Paul. We can take captive of what we think about. And we can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Yes, brothers and sisters, you can subdue the negative thought of yours today. We have to make sure that our thinking lines up with the truth, with the Word of God. We have to ensure we think about things the way God wants us to think. The power, again, let me say, the power lies with you, is in your hands. Don't blame God. Don't blame your wife. Don't blame your husband. Don't blame your family or anyone else. Don't even blame circumstances. If you have chosen with your own free will to constantly dwell on the negative side of this life, when you are in hot water, do not blame anybody. God has a remedy. Philippians 4:8 says, Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Think, meditate, ponder, dwell, internalize if necessary. Amen. I said earlier that this sanctification process will not be accomplished overnight. I'll close in 1 minute. I'm running out of time. So if God targets a specific area in your thinking where you are really very low or very off base, you have to cooperate with God. If he tells you that you are too critical, you are too judgmental of others, then your job, my job, is to do our best to cast off. Casting off, taking something and then just throw it away. To cast off and to cast down this negative and destructive and toxic thought and replace them with what Philippians 4:8 says. Replace them with godly and positive thoughts. Amen. Now in closing, please realize, brothers and sisters, just because a demon or your own imagination has caused a bad thought to float across your mind, it doesn't mean that you have to dwell on it. No. Every day, we get tons of flashing thoughts that crosses our mind. It is not this bad thought that flashes your mind that will get you into trouble with God. No. Let me say it again. It is not this bad thought that flashes your mind that will get you into trouble with the Father. So what then? It is what you decide to dwell on. I hope you still remember that saying, you can't avoid birds flying over your head, but you can avoid the bird from making or building a nest on top of your head. If you dwell on a bad thought, you start feeding it. You start feeding it, it will start to grow. And once it grows, it will lead to mental stronghold. Very dangerous. Once your mental stronghold starts to grow deeper and stronger, you start to get an actual desire to act out that desire. And once you act out on that, and then an actual addiction starts to form. And then you want to repeat that kind of action over and over again. And that is why you have that addictive behavior. Break that behavior. Break that addiction. Get delivered. Be whole. Be free today by the power of God.
Amen? Yeah. Amen. I'm just going to ask you to stand, and maybe Margaret and Kirsten and a few of the singers could come up. I was just thinking about that message and about how important it is that we actually use our minds in a positive way. We're going to do that as we end our service today. Set your mind on things that are noble. Set your mind on things that are pure. Set your mind on things that are of God and of Jesus. And sometimes You know what the enemy does is he tries to put something else in our minds so that we can't focus on the things that are of God. It's like if someone says, don't think about horses. Don't think about horses. Stop thinking about horses. You just keep thinking about horses because that's what the enemy does. He keeps planting other things. Some of you are still thinking about horses. Stop thinking about horses. Or don't, you know, the enemy does that. He puts things in our heads so that we don't think about things that are noble and pure, things that are having to do with the love of God. So just as we conclude our service together today, I'm going to encourage you as we worship God with that song, How Great Is Our God, okay? Because we're going to think about how great God is. Set your mind on the things of God. Maybe it's a time to just worship Him. Think of His love. Think of His goodness. Think of the fact that He's in control. He's going to continue to take care of you. Sometimes when I pray and we're in a circle, I feel like I'm talking too much. Other people are talking, but I kind of mumble a little bit and I just keep saying things, or I'll repeat a word, or I do that because if I don't do that, I'm going to start thinking about horses. If you get what I mean. You know, I'll do whatever I got to do, whether that's speaking in tongues or whether it's saying a word, or I just want to stay focused. I want to stay focused. I want to think of the love of God. I think that God is merciful. I think that He's kind. I remember that He's good. And sometimes we have to do that deliberately. You can do that when you sing. When you sing, say, thank you, Jesus. Sometimes it's just saying, thank you, Jesus, over and over again. You say, God, I want to set my heart on you. I want to set my mind on the things that are of God, not of the things that are bothering me. Not all my troubles, not everything that isn't working. I want to think about what is working. I want to think about the glass being half full. So just do that now. Just close your eyes. I think it's one of the reasons why they told us years ago to close our eyes, so that we could not be distracted. Right now, we don't want to be distracted, God. We worship you. We thank you. We think on the things that are true, things that we've learned today. We think about how great and awesome and powerful you are and what a great Father you always have been to us. And we say, thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you that you are a God who allows us to set our minds on you and to remove from our minds everything that is not worthy of you. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray for those of us who have engaged in pornography, that you'd remove any of those pictures, any of those thoughts from our mind. We have placed those things in our mind. Take that away, Jesus, so that we don't have those images in our head anymore. So we're not chasing after something that we can never attain. Set our minds right now on things that are pure, things that are holy. Some of us have fixated on death and on suicide and on hurting ourselves. We ask you in Jesus' name just to remove that too. Remove those thoughts. Remove the times that we have put ourselves down. We thought we weren't worth anything. We thought we were just worth dying. Instead, just remind us right now that it's not for us to die, that we are worth dying for. Jesus, you died for us. You're a great God. You are such a great God. You are a good, good Father. We deliberately set our minds on you. We take captive every thought that is not a thought of God. We pray for purity in our minds and in our hearts. We pray that we will have such a synchronized, coordinated walk with you, that your mind would be my mind. That the things that are on the heart of God would be the things that are on my heart. That's what my prayer is right now, God. Thank you, Jesus. And just remove the distractions, and every one of us confesses that, man, there's a lot of things that distract us. Sometimes it's hard to just even read through a psalm, and my mind has gone all over the place. So we set our hearts, we set our minds on you, and we ask you to remove the distraction and the distractor, the enemy, the accuser, the one who would want us to think on anything else but you, O God. You are a great God. You are a great God. Thank you, God. Let's just sing that song.